Our reading for Monday, July 6th, is going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God, for no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up. Now, brothers, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I benefit you unless I bring to you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching? If even lifeless instruments, such as the flute or the harp, do not give distinct notes, how will anyone know what is played? And if the bugle gives an indistinct sound, who will get ready for battle? So with yourselves, if with your tongue you utter speech that is not intelligible, how will anyone know what is said? For you will be speaking into the air. There are doubtless many different languages in the world, and none is without meaning. But if I do not know the meaning of the language, I will be a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker a foreigner to me. So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praises with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking be mature. In the law it is written, by people of strange tongues and by the lips of foreigners will I speak to this people, and even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Thus tongues are a sign not for believers but for unbelievers, while prophecy is a sign not for unbelievers but for believers. If therefore the whole church comes together and all speak tongues, and outsiders or unbelievers enter, will they not say that you are out of your minds? But if all prophecy and an unbeliever or outsider enters, he is convicted by all. He is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so, falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. What then, brothers? When you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. If any speak in a tongue, let there be only 2 or at most 3, and each in turn, and let someone interpret. But if there is no one to interpret, let each of them keep silent in church and speak to himself and to God. Let 2 or 3 prophets speak, and let the others weigh what is said. If a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn, and all be encouraged. And the spirits of prophets are subject to prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. As in all the churches of the saints, the women should keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but should be in submission, as the law also says. If there is anything they desire to learn, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in church. Or was it from you that the word of God came? Or are you the only ones it has reached? If anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritual, he should acknowledge that the things I am writing to you are a command of the Lord. If anyone does not recognize this, he is not recognized. So my brothers earnestly desire to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but all things should be done decently and in order. So we left off in chapter 13 discussing love and how important love was, and how it doesn't really matter what you do, that if you don't have love, then it is negated. It becomes void. It becomes empty. Love is that important. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself, the two greatest commandments. And so in chapter 13, verse 3, he says, if I give away all I have, if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. In verse 1, he said, if I don't have love, I'm a noisy gong, a clanging cymbal. It's just noise. And he ended the chapter with, faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. So when we get into chapter 14, he's continuing this same thought. And we could put a therefore at the beginning of chapter 14, and it would fit, at least as far as I read it. I realize Paul didn't do that, but you could do that and see that he is continuing the same thought. So he says, pursue love. And then after you are pursuing love, then yes, you can desire those spiritual gifts. And of course, he's talking to those in Corinth of the first century. Those spiritual gifts have ended. We talked about those yesterday. Go back and listen to that recording again if you need to, or reach out to me if you have questions. But he makes a distinction between prophesying, which would be teaching, and I think we could also deduce that he's talking about a spiritual gift of teaching, which it means that they would be inspired, and one who speaks in tongues. And he begins to talk about this idea of people talking in tongues. And I think that if we take chapter 12 and chapter 13 and keep those in mind as we move into chapter 14, we realize that the Corinthians had this problem of a selfish behavior in which they wanted people to look at me, look how great I am, look at what I can do. And that came from first who they were taught, who they were following, and even to the point of, well, I'm going to take these spiritual gifts and I'm going to twist it to this evil desire and say, hey, look, I can speak in tongues. Listen to me, even though, as Paul points out here in chapter 14, nobody knows what he's saying. Understand, that's very different than what we see in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, when the apostles there are speaking, everybody says, I can hear them in my own language. And Paul makes that point here in chapter 14, that is the purpose of tongues, is a sign to unbelievers, not for believers. And he says, when you come together, you don't need to be thinking about self. You don't need to be trying to put yourself on a pedestal. You don't need to be trying to tell everybody, hey, look at me. No, instead, what he's doing is saying, you need to be worrying about what you can do to build up your brother or your sister in Christ. That's what's important. You are gathering together to serve God and build one another up, not to build yourself up into a position of other people being envious of you. In verse 6 there, he says, now, brothers, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I benefit you unless I bring some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching? If I haven't done anything to build you up, then what's the use of the tongue? Well, it's not benefiting. Then verse 7, if even lifeless instruments such as the flute or the harp do not give distinct notes, how will anyone know what is played? Kind of an interesting illustration that he uses there. Each individual instrument, you know, flute, harp, clarinet, trombone, trumpet, tuba, they all have distinctive properties that make them recognizable. There's some little overlap in which, you know, if they played exactly the same thing, maybe you wouldn't quite be able to distinguish them. But we put all those together in an orchestra or a band, and all those different timbres and tones and warmth versus brightness of the instruments come together and make a harmonious piece of music that everybody enjoys listening to. But if everything sounded somewhat the same, but you put all of those together, it wouldn't be as enjoyable. That harmony wouldn't be there. The timbre wouldn't be there. You know, there's a reason why when somebody writes a piece of music, they write one section for a stringed instrument and then another section for a brass instrument. They produce different qualities, and depending on how they mix together, they can produce different feelings even through the music. So he says, if they don't have any distinctive notes, or I would say tones, then how will anyone know what is played? And if the bugle, remember that at the time the bugle was something that could be loud enough for everybody to hear in an army. It says if the bugle gives an indistinct sound, in other words, you can't distinguish it from other sounds, then how will anyone know to get ready for battle? It won't be able to serve its purpose. So with yourselves, if your tongue, you utter speech that is not intelligible, how will anyone know what is said? And how will anyone benefit from that? How will anyone be built up from that? He says, you won't. You won't. So he says in verse 11, I would be a foreigner to the speaker and the speaker a foreigner to me. It says, we would not be able to communicate. And that's one of the things we're doing in order to build one another up. We are communicating with one another. Even our songs we sing when we come together in an assembly, the point is to communicate with one another as well as praise God. That communication has the purpose of admonition and encouragement and sometimes just to make us think about spiritual things and evaluate our spiritual life. When we get up and pray, we're communicating to God, but we're communicating as a group. And if that person praying, if somebody got up Sunday morning and, for example, they prayed in Spanish, you know, I know a couple of Spanish words, but, you know, aside from recognizing when they say God or Christ or, maybe faith, you know, I wouldn't be able to discern anything that they're saying. And so I wouldn't be able to join with them in that prayer. They wouldn't be praying on my behalf anymore because I can't communicate. The same thing with preaching. If I got up and started preaching in German, for example, which my German's not good enough to do that. But if I got up and start preaching in German, if you don't speak German, then, I mean, what's it going to benefit you? It's not. You're not going to understand anything. It won't help you one bit. And so he says, we have to engage the mind. And in order to engage the mind, we have to communicate. That communication has to take place. He says, I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. It says, how can anyone say amen to your thanksgiving if they don't know what you're saying? So, verse 19, in the church I would rather speak five words with my mind in an intelligible way with pure communication to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Let's communicate succinctly so that everyone can understand and everyone can benefit rather than even undertaking in such a way that people can't benefit. I would say that even applies to someone who tries to be overly intellectual from the pulpit. You know, if they are using a lot of words that people don't know the meaning of and they're speaking in such a way that people don't understand, it has not benefited them, even though they might even be speaking the English language. So then verse 20, he's imploring them, in your thinking, be mature. Think of things through. You know this to be true if you just think this through in this way. Verse 22, I made mention of tongues are a sign not for believers but for unbelievers, while prophecy or teaching is a sign not for unbelievers but for believers. Again, we don't have these spiritual gifts going on anymore today, but we do have the principles that are communicated in chapter 14 to apply to ourselves today when we assemble together especially. Let's see, verse 26. What then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up, for edification. And then he begins talking about being orderly. Yeah, it doesn't matter what spiritual truths we want to communicate. If we all get up and try to talk at the same time, none of it gets through. It creates noise. It creates static. And the hearer is not going to benefit. You know, we strive a lot today to make our services orderly. Part of that is we have a traditional way that we structure our service. Sometimes we change it a little bit. But we follow that because we know what to expect then. We know at what point in the service we are going to engage ourselves in prayer that allows us to prepare our minds for that activity. We know at what point in the services we are going to engage in a remembrance of the sacrifice of Christ and partake in the memorial of the Lord's Supper. We can prepare ourselves for that. You know, we do those things in a structured and orderly way, one at a time, in order to try to provide the best benefit. Can that structure turn into rote behavior? Absolutely. But that's for each individual person to guard themselves against. Verse 31, all should learn and all should be encouraged. Verse 33, God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. Then in verse 34, he begins to address women keeping silent in the churches. He's still talking about, you know, order in the assembly, that they shouldn't be speaking out of order or creating any confusion within the service. He points out that they should be in submission. That means to be under authority. And if we combine chapter 11 with chapter 14, remember chapter 11, we talked about the spiritual authority there that was God, son, man, woman. That was the way that God designed it. That's what he's referencing there. I would remind you of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, where Paul wrote to Timothy saying, "Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet." So I want to point out that he's talking about, in chapter 14, the assembly. And he's talking about order. And he's talking about authority. So 1 Timothy 2 expounds upon this and gives us a little bit more insight into the teaching that comes from Christ through Paul. And we understand that it is a matter of exercising authority over a man. So in the general assembly, no, we don't have women teaching. In Bible classes, you know, women can teach women. That's okay. They can be in a separate thing. That's not the whole church gathered together. We choose in Bible classes to structure ourselves in such a way to solicit comments from the audience. There's occasions in which we might have a Bible class in which we don't solicit comments. That's up to the one that is leading the class. But who is in authority during that class? Well, it is the one that is teaching the class. Now, lest anyone think that Paul is not authoritative in what he's saying, in verse 37 he says, "If anyone thinks that he is a prophet or spiritual, he should acknowledge that the things I am writing to you are a command of the Lord." Paul is not writing his opinion. He is writing what he is inspired by the Lord to write. If anyone does not recognize this, he is not recognized. In other words, he is not recognized as authoritative and from God. Verse 39, "My brothers earnestly desire to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but all things should be done decently and in order." That is for the purpose of building up, whether it is the time of the first century in which they had the spiritual gifts to speak in tongues or to teach by inspiration, or whether it is today in which we gain our knowledge through studying the Word of God. We need to realize that all things need to be done for the purpose of building up and to be done decently and in order. And if our motivations lie outside of that, then we need to question those motivations and we need to make correction. Thank you for listening today. Please come back tomorrow as we get into chapter 15 and we shift gears a little bit to begin talking about the resurrection. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.